Did you know that every day companies you've probably never heard of are making billions off your personal data? Your name, your address, phone number, even details about your family are pulled from public records and the internet and then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace making money off your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. And that's when Aura comes in. Right now, you can try Aura free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That's enough time for Aura to start removing your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today at aura.com/remove and get peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are safeguarded. That's aura.com/remove. Certain terms apply. See site for details.
Happy New Year, guys. And we're kicking off this 2026 with a couple of humongous debuts from RAM.
Yeah, we've got some goodies to talk about in this episode. A few exciting reveals. One that we were definitely expecting, which is the return of the TRX.
Yes, and one that we did not expect.
But that we've been asking for how long?
Decades, maybe?
Yeah, pretty much.
So we're talking about a deep dive video because we have two chief engineers, basically, or vice presidents. I mean, they have really big titles, these guys. I got a chance to go to the Detroit area in Michigan and interview the chief engineer of the RAM TRX, 2027 model.
Yep.
And also 2027 RAM Power Wagon Diesel.
That's right, a Cummins Power Wagon, yes. Which is, again, something we've been asking for a really long time. And since you were there, you got to get hands-on, which is what most of this podcast will be, and actually talk with the guys responsible for bringing these trucks to market.
Yeah, this is very exciting. And so how about this? We can kind of show you the 2027 Ram 1500 SRT TRX. Once again, dude, that's a very long name.
Yeah.
And we can kind of explain what, you know, because SRT is back.
Well, and the specific one that you were filming has an even longer name because it's the Bloodshot Night Edition.
Yes. And also, so we can run that interview because it's a deep dive.
Yep.
And, you know, it's one thing to like read a press release, but it's a whole other story when you actually get to talk to some of the team members and actually, in this case, like basically the chief engineer behind the project.
Yeah.
Because they have certain stories and little details that nobody else can talk about.
And more insight than anyone else at this point. So that's going to be a really interesting interview that we're going to kick off with first.
Yes. And then we'll go to the Ram Power Wagon Diesel. That's Doug Killian interview. And the first interview is with Marty Jagoda. And also, I just want to preview this. I think we'll have some, you and I will have some fighting words about the Ram Power Wagon Diesel.
Yeah, because we pretty much agree on the TRX versus the Raptor, that debate, Raptor R specifically.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that with pricing, but we're also going to talk about the Power Wagon Diesel and its pricing against its competition, and that's where we disagree.
Yeah, and there'll be some fighting, so stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
So right now, let's launch into the interview with Marty Jagoda. Marty, the TRX is back.
It is. Here it is.
2027 model. And you, please tell me your new title, because your title has evolved a little bit over the years.
It has evolved a little bit, you know, so I think we might have talked at the 5.7 launch, and there were some cryptic titles. So now I'm formally the Vice President, Chief Vehicle Engineer for Ram and Frame for the SRT Performance Division.
So the SRT Performance Division is back in full force. And frame means pickup truck, right?
Means pickup truck.
Or a body-on-frame SUV, potentially,
that's
right?
That's correct.
So that's really cool. So this is my first view of the new TRX. TFL Truck used to own the original.
Okay.
We were so lucky to actually have it. So we fell in love with the original TRX. But I really wanted to learn all the differences, right? Little things you've done from the engineering perspective.
Yeah.
Just to make it the next level, right?
Absolutely.
Because it's not just the old TRX coming back.
It is not just the old TRX coming back. It's the bones, it's the skeleton, it's everything we loved at TRX, but a second version of it, right? Elevated the game to be the true halo truck to the brand and the true apex predator in the off-road truck segment.
Should we start under the hood? Or let's start
maybe with the suspension, right? Because sure. the TRX is a couple different things. It's style, power, and suspension it in is. My mind. Yep. So let's start, because we're here, let's start with the suspension.
Yeah, absolutely. So on the truck is our Ram Active Terrain Dynamic Suspension, leveraging Bilstein Blackhawk Gen 2 tuning. So the TRX originally was the Gen 1 version, right? As we move to Atlantis High Electrical Architecture and the RHO, we leverage the second generation of this system, learnings from ourselves, learnings of the overall vehicle. In RHO, there were refinements done in the various damping modes. The performance, the capability is all there, but the separation between the multiple modes was more distinct. So now as we bring TRX back, we bring all those learnings and we do the tuning specific to TRX. So what you'll notice that's different this time around is, again, the distinctions between the modes is more noticeable. Mm. Some of the road input, you know, the everyday driving, the body float is all much more refined, much more comfortable of what you would expect of a luxury truck, but also no sacrifices at all to performance, because this is the top performance luxury truck on the market.
So the modes are about the same as far as names
they
are
concerned. The same, as the, yes.
But the distinctions there.
The distinctions are different.
I want to ask you about, since we're talking about this, about how this relates to the RHO. Because RHO is still there, right?
RHO is still there,
so
yes.
How can you talk a little bit about, you know, how did that inform you, or how did that, you know, influence or maybe help you?
Yeah, you know, so you know, I think Tim mentioned it earlier, you know, when you take the engine out from under the hood, right, there's a large mass difference, right? And one could say that the V8 not under the hood offers better dynamic performance. To me, that sounds like a challenge to the engineering team. Uh-huh. When we put the V8 back under the hood, how do we maintain that level of damping balance? And that's exactly what we've done. So the vehicle, again, to me, drives very refined without sacrificing any of that capability. And I would challenge that, you know, if you drive the two trucks back to back, you know, between the old TRX and the new, you'll notice that difference. When you bring the RHO into the mix as well, I would challenge that you won't notice much of a difference there either. So all that refinement is there, but again, the capability was never sacrificed.
And I remember at the RHO event when it was first launched, you guys also talked about kind of the tuning of the all-wheel drive settings, because this does have all-wheel drive four high, four low.
It does.
That comes into play as well,
it
right?
It does. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that, honestly, there was not much changes that needed to be had from the original TRX. From an all-wheel drive front rear split performance in those modes, it was very good balance, very good capability. We honestly, that was one of the areas we did not want to change that. We were very happy with where it was at. So again, we had to adapt those elements and software to the new electrical architecture. But from a calibration perspective, it is what we all remember of TRX previously.
And the electrical architecture you're referring to is what came out in 2025, correct?
That's correct.
That was the latest 1500 lineup.
That's correct. Okay. So in 2025 at that product action, for DT, the Ram 1500 light-duty pickup truck, we brought in our new Atlantis High Electrical Architecture. So TRX previously was not on it, now it is.
And a lot of it is hidden from the driver and the customer, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of invisible. It's in the background.
It is, right? Okay. You know, when you talk about an electrical architecture, well, does the truck still start? Do the window switches work? Yes, all that customer-facing, but it's really behind it, right? It is faster data communication, which really enables a lot. Again, you know, L2 and L2 Plus hands-free driving are now standard on this truck.
In the TRX as well?
In the TRX as well, okay. Yes. So we get enablements there, for sure.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, the mirror controls. I mean, there's a little bit of touch points.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the switches and stuff like that.
Yep.
So that's a nice touch point.
Yeah.
Tell me about the wheel and tire, because it looks like you did not change it very much.
No, we did not change it very much. There are minute differences. So first of all, the tire is 100% the same. So it's still our Goodyear Wrangler all-terrain territory tire.
Okay.
Same tire, great tire. And that's what dictates the speed limitation of the truck. So the 118 mile an hour speed limitation comes from the tire. Right?
It's a 35-inch.
It's a 35-inch tire,
yeah.
Same as what it was. The wheel design, on this particular package, we have our beadlock capable design. The wheel design and the beadlock, same design, slightly different color combination.
I
so
gotcha.
Through the course of TRX previously, we had multiple additions, right, with bright beadlock rings, darker ones. Same with the inner wheel. This is a new combination. But the design and everything is the same.
And so the wheel is an 18-inch. I'm just looking at the tire right now. 325, 65, R18.
Yep.
And actually, 325 is fairly wide.
It's pretty wide.
But you need that, right, for the power.
Yes, you do.
All right,
yes,
that's a good segue, I think. We should talk about power.
So the hood looks about the same.
The hood is the same.
Okay.
The hood is the same. Obviously, this has the Bloodshot Knight paint package on it. So the hood has the two-tone from the body color and Spitfire orange on this particular to the black, and then the racing stripe across the hood.
That
but
looks
the hood
nice.
Design is the same.
Okay. So now what's changed? Because the numbers you've communicated is 777, that's 777 horsepower,
yep.
And 680 pound-feet of torque, which is a big bump over the 702 where it was.
Yeah, 10%.
Okay.
Which in percent forms, some would say it's not a lot, others would say it's a lot. From an engineering perspective, it is. So what has changed? A lot is gonna be hidden under here. Okay, so
poke in there, Cole.
Yeah, a lot is what's changed under here. So actually, this is a pre-production truck. So
okay.
when these reach the dealership lots in the summer of 2026, this will be different.
Okay.
We're still finalizing.
Just kind of like the plastic cover.
The plastic
a little bit.
And actually the induction design underneath. So the induction design underneath, from where we're at previously to now, is 18%. Less inlet restriction.
Okay.
Right? If we think of an engine as an air pump, right? How do you make more power? Well, get more air in, right? So 18% restriction improvement was the biggest enabler that we had. We are going to be leveraging a significant amount of design from the RHO, so the hood ducting ultimately will be slightly different, and you'll have a big air box over on the side. And the routing to support.
Well,
that,
because so. Before it was pretty huge. The air filter, I remember. I mean, it was already huge. And you're saying you were able to get 18%, basically better airflow.
Yeah.
Through it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Within the bends, within our propulsion team, working on this, the induction team specifically. These guys are scientists. They can see the airflow. Right. It's an art. It's an art form.
Because they've seen so many simulations and all this stuff.
Yeah, much like exterior dynamics, where you see videos from years ago where you have the yarn taped on, but now there's more analytical tools. Same thing with airflow, except for on induction, everything's hidden, right? So we leveraged the analytical tools, again, 18% restriction, and the last iteration we did to get to the number, it was 1/10 less. So, aligning very nicely with Tim's last 10th mantra.
Yeah.
That's what it took.
What about on the exhaust side, as far as getting the air back out? Because we just heard it, I think it blew out our microphones a little bit, which is still good.
That's still great,
yeah.
So the exhaust, from the exhaust manifolds all the way back, is unchanged from previous TRX.
Okay.
It's unchanged from previous TRX for a couple of reasons. One, the exhaust system flows great to begin with, right? You're not gonna find a lower flowing exhaust system at this level of performance in the truck market that still complies with noise regulations, et cetera. Not gonna find it. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, that's honestly, to me, one of the crowning achievements, and it's a secondary thing, is the catalyst. Again, the exhaust is fully unchanged, but we are improving the emissions of this vehicle. So the outgoing TRX was a bin 160 emissions level vehicle. This one will be a bin 70 emissions vehicle. So we've leveraged continuous improvement in knowledge and controls and software and emissions and how to manage that, and we're able to actually make that large step down with this vehicle, which we're very, very proud about.
Because this is a 2027 model year, right? I'm not really familiar with those bin levels, but is that basically, I mean, what drives that? Is that mostly regulation? You just saw some improvements to be made?
All
of the above?
All of the above, of the above, right? It's always about making improvements within the capability of the truck. And so when we elected to bring this truck back, it was a big mission to see how good we can get. And we're very proud with where we landed.
So you got more power, more torque, better emissions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sounds like you could, have your cake and eat it too.
A bit, yeah. Again, we're very proud of the work that the team has done.
And a lot of the design, I mean, I know you're not a design guy, but the body, the fender stayed about the same, correct? I mean,
yeah.
A lot of the other components?
All of the body work is the same. Some of the logos are new, so we've got, some of the detail on the front. So the Ram previously was in a more grayscale Tracer. Now Ram is in a red Tracer. Similar with the tow hooks, same tow hooks, but with red.
On all TRXs, basically.
Yep, on all TRXs. And then the biggest amount of change, is, first of all, again, we're calling it an SRT.
Right? It's probably dear to your heart,
right? It is very near and dear to my heart, yes. So we're very proud to put this badge on the truck. And you see it again on the rear. But to me, I think one of the coolest things about the new truck, so you've got SRT on the lower left, so everybody, when they look in their rearview mirror, they see it in the front grille on the front. If they're behind you, which I think a lot of people will be, you see it on the back. But the new TRX badge and logo.
With the kind of the head of the dinosaur there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, our design team absolutely knocked this out of the ballpark. It looks great, and I think it just really fills out this tailgate in a wonderful way.
Well, it's on the design team. It was also kind of tapping into maybe the community, right? Because, of course, the TRX created all of that community and owners and fans of the truck,
Absolutely. This truck absolutely has a following. They missed it when it was gone. We're bringing it back, and as Tim said, you know, just bringing it back wasn't enough.
That's great. And interior is mostly design changes, or did you make any functional?
No functional changes to the interior, right? So in the interior, this particular edition, so the Bloodshot Night package has red tracing in the carbon fiber. So everywhere there's carbon fiber, you'll be able to see the little bit of red, okay? If you do not get that package, it'll be the standard carbon fiber look. You do get, because of the Atlantis High electrical architecture, you get the larger radio now. Let's see, leather-wrapped driver's airbag. So previously the TRX was plastic, so we're bringing that in from tungsten, adding the red stitching, and then also from tungsten is the suede headliner.
I see. It's now a little hard to see
it
here.
It is hard to see, but it feels wonderful.
Yeah,
so suede headliner wrapped down all the way down through the pillars.
And what about, tell me a little bit more about payload and towing. I know you probably didn't state some of the numbers yet.
Yeah.
Tell me about a little bit of that, because this is a luxury truck, it's an off-road truck, but some people still pull a trailer.
Absolutely, it's a truck and it needs to be a truck. So we're actually fine-tuning those details, and the confirmation of those numbers will be available a little bit closer to the launch date of the truck.
So it'll be about the same, I mean, not less, obviously.
We're working through those details.
Okay. Sorry, I'll try to push you there.
Yeah, that's okay. No, that's okay. You wouldn't be doing your job if you weren't.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate it, Murray. Did we forget anything, really?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it looks good in this two-tone. Quiet, nice. And the two-tone, I was told, was available in multiple colors. So this is kind of the orange two-tone with black, but you can also have other combinations.
That's correct, yeah. So this particular one, and it's funny, with the lighting coming from this side, it actually looks more red on this side than the other side. But this is, the base color is Spitfire Orange. All TRXs will come with the black two-tone. And then again, this has got the Bloodshot Night package on top of it, which is the wrap and also the hood, the top tuxedo in black.
And some of the interior elements you mentioned.
And the red interior elements as well. So this package will be available agnostic or regardless of what base color you get.
Nice. Awesome. Thanks. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Thank you for coming here today and wishing you a Merry Christmas.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks.
So first of all, dude, I was worried when I was flying to Detroit.
Yeah.
I was a little bit worried because my worry was that Ram, the new TRX, and the existing RHO are going to look identical. You know, that was one of my worries.
Styling wouldn't be different enough to pick them from a lineup.
Yeah. So like if you saw one at a traffic light, you know, like a block away, that you wouldn't be able to tell which is it a TRX?
Until they pulled away.
Yes, until you could hear audibly hear. The RHO is great, right? 540 horsepower in the RHO, but it really sounds like a little bit like a souped up vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
that's terrible.
Both of us actually really like the RHO a lot.
Yes, we do.
I think it's a generally good powertrain. It doesn't maybe sound the most exciting, but it makes a lot of power, a lot of torque. So I prefer the Hurricane to the EcoBoost in the regular Raptor. But one thing that we both really love about the RHO are those updated Bilstein shocks that they put into that truck
yes.
for the RHO. That the TRX, when it first came out, had an impressive ride. It was very smooth. You could go super fast over any surface type because that's what these trucks are designed for. But the RHO even improved upon that, noticeably so. And now this new TRX has those updated Bilsteins as well, which is great.
Exactly. So, and then they what they did stylistically speaking, well, first of all, the two-tone color is, I want to hear some of your opinion on this. But also the like the Ram logo, the badging, the toe points, the toe hooks are in red. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm pretty happy that they actually called out some of those badges in different color because those badges you will see from a block away.
For sure. Nothing is quiet about this truck, not audibly or in its styling.
Visually?
Yeah, visually. It's not a quiet design either. There's a lot going on there. I think that in this day and age, for me at least, this is my personal feeling, is that a lot of two-tones make me think luxury, like a Maybach or something.
Uh-huh.
And this two-tone on kind of a rugged off-road truck, I don't know if it ticks a box for me. It kind of reminds me, and this is a bit of a deep cut, but back in the day, the second gen Rams,
yes.
they had a very similar black and red two-tone that I like a lot on second gens on an older truck like that where two-tones were more common. I think it makes sense. And this is when the second gens came out, it was a much nicer, more comfortable truck than they used to be. So a two-tone kind of made sense because it made it feel a little bit more premium. But on a rugged off-road truck like TRX, it wouldn't be my first pick. I would pick just a solid color if it was me.
And I think you have options, right? Mm-hmm. So the truck we're showing here, and if you're just listening to us, let's describe it just a little bit. So the bottom, what is it, 10%?
Yeah, know, like the rockers.
The rocker is in black.
Yep.
And that is going to be a TRX thing. So no matter which color you get on top, the rocker section at the bottom, kind of where the bumpers are,
yeah.
and going across the middle.
But then the hood and everything above the belt line, so basically from the windows up, is also black like the rockers are. So it's just a stripe of red down the side of the truck.
Yeah, and also this particular one that we're looking at is the Bloodshot Night Edition. The rear bedside section and the rear door of it has this little graphic, kind of like mud's splatter kind of going across.
Which I also learned something interesting that I didn't know before. You're not a huge fan of graphics on truck beds, are you?
Unless they're done right. Because I wasn't a fan of the original Raptor, SVT Raptor graphic.
See, that's what I heard. So the first gen Raptor,
yes.
the graphic on the
yes.
side, you're not a fan?
Not a huge fan, especially... The one I was talking about was the white base color on that Raptor
yeah.
with a black graphic that looks like mud splattering on the bed.
So you would rather have a first-gen Raptor white with no graphic?
No, I wouldn't go with white.
Yeah.
So that was my issue, I think. I think the overall color scheme was wrong.
I like the graphic on the first-gen.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. But that truck particularly looked like a zebra to me.
Okay.
You know, it was white right. plus
Fair
black
enough.
Stripes.
Right, right.
You know, I didn't quite appreciate the safari,
sure.
the zebra look.
Yeah. Okay, I can see
but,
that.
But this one, I think they did a little bit different take on it. So I kind of appreciate the graphic here, but I'm trying to think about your two-tone comment.
Yeah. I mean, it's
which is interesting.
This truck is bright red and black. With the graphic on the bed, it's got a red stripe going into the hood. The Ram badge in the grill is red. The tow hooks are red. So there's a lot going on. It's kind of a busy color scheme. So, yeah, it wouldn't yeah. be my first pick. But what's most exciting about this truck isn't really in the way it looks because it looks mostly like it did.
It's the substance within, right?
It's that extra horsepower. 777.
Triple sevens.
That's a lot of horsepower,
yes.
so it now exceeds the Raptor R by quite a bit.
By 57 horsepower.
Yeah, so 720 versus 777.
Yeah.
And this is a significantly more than $10,000 cheaper truck than the Raptor R.
Yeah, so let's talk about this price. So Ram says that the base price before the destination charge is $99,995. But that's really not the real price.
$100,000.
But the real price, because the destination charge is $2,595, which is a pretty high destination charge, actually. Yep. And this truck is built in Michigan, by the way. Is $102,590 altogether.
So almost $103,000.
Yes. So that's a six-digit number.
It is.
Which is a big number.
It's a huge number.
Yeah.
But the Raptor R is also about $114,000.
Exactly.
So this kind of turns the table historically. Since the Raptor R came out, even though it was more expensive, it was more powerful, it felt like a nicer truck in a lot of ways, and I liked the Raptor R more than the TRX, but it maybe didn't necessarily make sense for the extra money.
Mm-hmm.
Although TRX has got up there in price as well.
Well, because the last editions, that was a funny thing to say, like the final edition TRXs,
theoretically
final. Last final editions were actually like near $120,000.
Yeah.
Right?
So,
and that's, we're talking about 2024 models, right? Because that was the last model year.
At which point, TRX. I would have rather had a Raptor R. But now that the TRX is cheaper and it's got more power.
Boom, slam dunk.
Yeah. And we both agree on that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of you, I think a lot of people watching and listening right now probably think that 102, 103,000, let's say, for a TRX is probably more than they were prepared to think about.
Sure.
Because
it was never going to be
this, if you look at this, dude, a Hellcat powered 6.2 liter supercharged V8 Durango is about $80,000 or $85,000, right?
But that's not a wide body.
It's not a wide body
doesn't
truck.
Have long travel suspension or rear locker.
No.
So there's a lot going on with the TRX. It was always going to be an inexpensive truck, and it always has been. And but it's still it's. I would argue a better deal than a Raptor R.
But I think you and I have agreed on this, mm-hmm. is that the value is still there because I think it's $103,000 because it can be. You know what I'm saying? Because I think that's where the market could be, because people are looking at the Raptor R at $114,000 and they're wondering, you know, dude, this is a 103. I mean, it's $11,000 less.
They undercut their competitor by $10,000.
Yeah.
So
that's, I think that's a solid move. And I'm wondering, dude, right now, I'm really wondering, what will Ford do?
Yeah, they're gonna do something.
They're not going to be sitting down
no,
for this.
For sure not.
So this is going to be interesting.
Also,
so let's mention a couple more specs.
Yeah, 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds, which is impressive.
Yes.
And they're claiming 118 mile per hour top speed, which inevitably is going to come down to tires.
Yeah. And really, that's pretty close to where it was and pretty close to where the Raptor is.
But 118 is probably fast enough.
It's fast enough. Plus, at those speeds, because you and I have tested those speeds at the closed track, but because it's illegal to drive 118 anywhere on public roads.
Obviously.
I mean,
so in
does
Germany,
Montana
I guess.
Have any unlimited? No, I don't think they have any more unlimited speed areas. I mean, 85 miles an hour is really like some of the highest speed limits that we have.
Yeah.
But at 118 miles an hour, as you and I have tested, some of these trucks, they get a little bit light, right?
For sure. Yeah, so, it's top speeds are, again, typically limited by tires is the one non-negotiable
where
a tire is rated for a certain speed and a manufacturer's just not going to go beyond that. But to your point, any truck like this with soft, long travel suspension isn't really designed to go 150, 200 miles an hour.
Yeah, because there's a lot of air below it.
Yeah, and it's tall.
Yeah,
so,
it's very tall.
For sure.
And it starts to get a little bit light, so it doesn't have the aerodynamics, you know, to go really, really much faster than that.
But the acceleration, which is what you would use more often, still really impressive. 3.5 seconds in a pickup truck, 0 to 60.
Yeah.
10, 15 years ago, would have been saying no way.
Exactly. And also, I mean, there are a lot of electric vehicles out there now, you know, with massive horsepower numbers, massive acceleration, you know, performance. But I think this is a whole different animal. I mean, when you hear it, and we did record a rev of this engine, so you could actually hear the new or returning V8, there's nothing that's matching this sound.
Could you hear a good amount of that big old 2.4 liter supercharger?
Not too much, actually. I think where you hear it is actually driving.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Under load, that's when the supercharger really comes into its own.
And obviously, the truck has just been revealed, so the driving is going to be upcoming.
Yeah. So, and it's also a 2027 model, so we still have to wait about 6 months or so. They talked about June-ish to July-ish timeframes, maybe.
It's exciting though because we wanted them to bring this truck back with extra power,
and they did.
And that's exactly what they did. We were hoping they wouldn't just relaunch it exactly as it was, no changes, and here it is again, and it's more expensive. So I think they've done a good job with this, undercutting the Raptor R, giving it extra power. It's pretty awesome.
And the RHO is still there. They're not removing the RHO from the lineup.
Yeah.
So if you can't stomach $103,000, you could still look at the RHO, which now starts a little bit higher where it was, because I think it started at like 71 grand when it came out. Now it's closer to like 73, 74 grand, I think. So that's a little bit more reasonable, and you get the same suspension and the same four-wheel drive system and the same tires, basically, for that. So when you consider the Ram RHO and 540 horsepower, where that engine, you know, the Hurricane engine is super smooth, you and I have really enjoyed some of those engines. When you consider that and the new TRX, Ram is positioned super strong against anything that Ford currently offers and also really anything that GM has to offer.
Oh, for sure, yeah, because GM is not really in the same space as the TRX and the RHO and the Raptor.
Yeah.
So these trucks are a ton of fun. We've tested them a bunch because we've got so much off-roading around us here in Colorado. We love these vehicles, and we love to see that Ram is going at the off-road space as aggressively as ever.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, we do have to mention Toyota here, the Tundra. But the Tundra, even the TRD Pro editions, the new ones, are not really in the same space.
No.
As far as power is concerned and as far as suspension capability.
Yeah, they're even more mild than the ZR2 and the AT4X.
Yeah, so really Ram is super strong in this area, more horsepower, better pricing in a lot of ways.
Well, here's a controversial question. Right now, at this very moment with these trucks coming out, does this mean Ram is kind of at the front of the pack in the off-road segment, at least as far as offerings?
I think so.
They might be.
Yeah.
Especially because of, also, in a different segment, the next truck that we got to talk about.
Yeah. So let's switch gears, or let's switch fuels.
Yeah. So we switch fuel types. We're going from gas to diesel.
Yeah, we're switching to diesel.
Cole behind the camera is excited. He's a big diesel guy.
Exactly. Well, he loves Banks, too.
Yep.
Big Banks guy.
Big tuned-up diesels.
So when Cole and I were actually at this presentation, right, when they were launching these trucks in Detroit,
there
was a truck on stage covered in a big sheet, the big black sheet, right?
And this was one that they didn't warn you about ahead of time.
No, nothing. They just said, come in, welcome to the studio. You know, we walk in, there's a stage, and there's a big vehicle covered in the sheet, and everybody, I assumed it was a TRX, right?
Our buddy Nick Kappa likes to give us surprises.
Yeah, so Ram likes surprises. And they said, you know what? And then I look at the outline of the roof, and it has roof marker lights.
And
I was like, wait a minute, the TRX never had roof marker lights.
Yeah.
Because the lights are in the either in the grill area or in the hood scoop area, right? So it was a heavy-duty truck. Covered in a sheet. And then they said, you know what? You guys asked for it and you got it. And they said it's the Power Wagon that's powered by a Cummins.
Had you heard any rumors about this or
do you have
any idea?
No.
Because I hadn't either.
No. And I think Ram was very secretive on purpose.
Yeah.
But as excited as I got all of a sudden, well, should we let Doug explain? So, how about this? Let's go to the interview, the deep dive with Doug Killian, who is a kind of a chief engineer in this space. And then we can talk about pricing, we could talk about our impressions, and we could talk about the competition.
Yeah, so let's do it.
Let's go to Doug.
hey, look who it is. It's our friend Doug Killian. Doug, do you have a new title by chance? Or the same title?
I have the same title.
What is it?
Chief Engineer, Vehicle Development.
Sweet, for Ram.
Yes,
for Ram.
That's yes. Right.
So I just saw you, a couple months ago at the Proving Grounds.
That's right.
We were playing with a dually truck there.
That's fun.
You should watch that video if you haven't seen it. But you're introducing something very special today, which is a Cummins-powered Power Wagon, because it also has a Cummins badge, and it has a Power Wagon graphic here.
Correct.
And it's something that customers have asked over and over for, but I've heard, not from you, but I've heard from other Ram people, you know, several things that were stopping it, you know.
Yeah.
But I wanted to hear it from you now. How did you guys do it?
Okay.
Because you did it.
Yeah, we did.
You did it.
We did.
Okay.
And there was a point we said, we cannot put the Power Wagon badge down with the Cummins engine until it's going to do certain things. It kind of gets to the fundamental question of what makes a Power Wagon a Power Wagon. In this case, we say there's two main ingredients. One of them is the front stabilizer bar disconnect, axle articulation. So when you're off-roading, done plenty of off-roading, you've got all this torque, whether it's from the Hemi or all the torque from the Cummins,
so
how do you get that torque to the ground? If you've got a wheel hanging in the air, well, you're not going to get that torque down very easily. So in order to keep the wheels as much in the ground as possible, is we brought that stabilizer bar disconnect system over. That's a Power Wagon trait. Power Wagon's got to have that in order to get traction. So that's number one. Number two is a front axle locker.
Because that's what the Power Wagon was known for, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yes. You lock the front axle, you lock the T-case, you lock the rear axle. In effect, in theory, you can get all that torque to one wheel. So it will get it. Now, unlike a limited slip differential, or unlike brake lock differential, some of these technologies are out there that we use some of these on Ram, but not on a Power Wagon. Power Wagon's got to have lockers.
So was that a challenge then, having, because you have 1,075 pound-feet of torque now from the newest Cummins straight six.
Yep.
So was that main challenge? How does that, the locking differential, the suspension, all those need to handle that, right?
Correct. Yeah. So we got to get all that 1,000 pounds out through the axle shafts. So we actually had to engineer this front axle to accept an axle disconnect. It's not the kind of thing you can just go off the shelf and buy an axle disconnect. This was something we had to engineer at Ram. We had to make sure it's durable. We had to test it. We did all of our off-road testing. We did the same stuff we talked about at Proving Grounds a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
This is absolutely bulletproof. So we bring those two main ingredients in. The tire, the Wrangler DuraTrack tire. Okay, so we have an extremely stout tire here. It's an E load rating, and if you compare it to the base Power Wagon or the gas Power Wagon, it's a D load rating. We're also on a 20-inch wheel here. So we're effectively slightly larger in terms of OD. The DuraTrack in the 285/60R20 is slightly larger in OD. So we're actually compensating for a little bit of the fact that the gas Power Wagon has a suspension lift to it, the diesel does not.
Okay.
But we're getting a little bit of that lift. We're getting another, call it close to 1/2 inch, just from the larger OD tire itself.
Because the wheel is smaller diameter on the gas. So the gas Power Wagon still continues, right?
Absolutely.
It doesn't go away.
Absolutely.
Okay. So if you still are a fan of that, you still have it?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
The gas Power Wagon continues this by bringing the Cummins in, by bringing in the hardware, the main ingredients that make a Power Wagon a Power Wagon. We've almost created a Power Wagon portfolio. Is this going to do different things than the gas Power Wagon?
So the other two big numbers, right?
Yeah.
Payload and towing, right?
Yes.
Because people, I have talked about this ad nauseum over the last 12 years.
Yeah.
Because the Power Wagon gas version, in my opinion, didn't have enough payload.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for a heavy-duty vehicle, right?
Yes.
And I knew there were reasons for that. You know, the suspension system and articulation. And talk to me a little bit about power and towing and payload here.
Okay. So the towing and payload here on the diesel Power Wagon are going to be very close to what we see on the normal 2500, I'll say the non-Power Wagon, or even the Rebel version. They're very similar. Okay, so that actually is about double the payload, or close to 3,000 pounds on this Power Wagon, which is what you'd see on a 2500 Rebel, Laramie.
Or any 4x4.
Yeah, any 4x4. We're right at hitting those same numbers.
Okay.
In terms of 3,000 pounds payload, and we're up well above 19,000 pounds of towing. So here we're almost again doubling, like we did with payload, we're almost doubling the towing capacity.
So it makes this truck do different things than the gas truck would do.
But one thing is missing. I can see it in the front,
yeah.
Which is a winch.
Yeah.
Because the Power Wagon has been known over the decades to have a winch, right, available from the factory. Talk to me a little bit about this.
Sure. Okay, so one thing that I certainly will point out, I want to just reiterate that we did the axle design and we did the stabilizer bar disconnect design. Those are things that are integrated. We engineer those at RAM. Those are things that are they're hard to go find off the shelf. Now, a winch can be bolted on. It's a different bumper. There's some pretty good aftermarket solutions out there. But we really are focused on making sure that the Cummins retains all of its torque, all of its power, and all of its durability. One thing, when you see a winch on the front of a truck, it's easy to see the hook and see the strap.
Yes.
But not recognizing what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, what is going on?
Well,
especially on the Cummins.
Here, on the Cummins, we've got our intercooler back here.
Yeah.
So we're getting all of our cooling in this packaging space that's right behind the bumper.
Uh-huh.
So if we block that off with a winch, in fact, we even need the area for the spool. When you think about the steel cable that's within the winch,
yeah.
There's so much more going on behind the scenes. That eats into the what's really fundamental for the diesel engine to work in terms of its intercooler, its radiator, all of its cooling capacity. So we said, frankly, that's not necessarily what makes a Power Wagon a Power Wagon. In fact, it's optional on a gas Power Wagon. It's not even a standard equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the axle lockers and the stay bar disconnect are standard, so we kept those as standard on the diesel Power Wagon.
Because that's kind of the essence of the Power Wagon, right?
Exactly.
If you could say
exactly.
That.
That's when the Power Wagon's engineered as a full truck. Those are the key ingredients.
Let's take a look at the side. I haven't been in this truck yet.
Okay.
Let's take a look. Cole, do you want to jump in there? Cole, our videographer, is going to jump in and take a look. I just wanted to see it, like some of the controls and the interior. There's a Power Wagon badge, and then kind of focusing on some of the controls right there. So all heavy duties now have a column shift for the transmission,
correct.
Right? This
correct.
Is the 8-speed, correct?
That's right.
Okay.
This is the same 8-speed, same ZF 8-speed, same ratios. We're still carrying over the 342 final drive that has worked quite well with this transmission matchup.
Okay, and then you could see there's a sway bar button there, there's axle lock buttons, four high, four low. There is also drive modes, right?
Correct.
So like hill descent control, for example.
That's right. So all of the off-road features that really make the Rebel a very strong truck, we only compound them here with the locker and the stay bar disconnect, where the buttons are right at the fingertips. They're very well integrated. You get messaging on the cluster, on the radio. We have off-road pages. These are all things that really take this chassis to the next level.
That's really cool. So mainly, if you to summarize,
yeah.
So what enabled the diesel Power Wagon is mostly the chassis itself, right?
Correct. And the parts that we've engineered that are unique to Power Wagon, applying them to the diesel, except for the winch at this point. I mean, that's one notable absence that that's been asked a lot. But frankly, we said, a winch is about recovery. We put the bits in the truck that keep it from maybe needing to be recovered. So you can look at it that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, as a total package, I'll say doing some development on this truck. We've done some off-roading. I mean, you and I have done a little bit of this together. The gas Power Wagon and the diesel Power Wagon have a different character. They feel different off-road. I'll almost equate it to, think of the Ram, the animal with horns. The gas Power Wagon's a little more of a billy goat, and the diesel Power Wagon's a little more of an ox. I mean, it's got an extra weight in the front, and it just climbs and hauls in an amazing way.
And it has different payload and towing characteristics,
exactly.
Obviously.
Exactly. So it does different things. It's that sort of powerhouse side of the portfolio now, where the gas truck's a little more nimble because it's a bit lighter, and it gets a little more articulation.
Very cool. Well, thanks for the time, dude.
Oh, of course. Yeah, appreciate it.
I really appreciate it. Thanks.
Of course.
So once again, it's very special to hear about from the people about these trucks who actually, were there creating them.
Yeah.
And testing them.
And once again, this is a truck that we've been passionate about for a long time. Power Wagon, don't care. That goes back way before I was even here, 5-6 years ago.
That's
when I started.
That's a tagline that Nathan kind of created.
Goes back like 10 years?
Yeah, probably. While he was climbing Cliffhanger 2.0 trail and the rocks were moving underneath his Power Wagon. And he said, Power Wagon, don't care. And it became a t-shirt, actually.
Yeah.
So we really appreciate this brand.
For sure. Always loved the Power Wagon, but the low point was that, especially up here at altitude, 6.4 Hemi is pretty anemic. So you wouldn't want to, ideally, you wouldn't want to pull a big trailer here in Colorado in the mountains with a 6.4.
Yeah, and also the thing about the Power Wagon, it's a 3/4-ton heavy-duty vehicle, right? But it never really had the payload or the towing capacity to back up its heavy-duty name, right? Because it's a heavy-duty pickup truck. Because the payload was usually around, what, 1,400 pounds-ish?
Yeah, which for an HD is.
And the towing was like just under 11,000, which is really kind of a half-ton territory, right, as far as capability. But what Power Wagon was always great at, triple locked, so front locking differential, of course, a center locking transfer case, rear locker, and also disconnectable sway bar in the front.
And for the longest time, we wanted the combination of 2,500 capability, diesel power, and the Power Wagon's off-road goodies. And now we've got it all in one truck. Now, on their press release, they said just under 3,000 pounds of payload and just under 20,000 pounds of towing, which is a little vague. Did you get more specific numbers than that?
No, that was about what I got from Doug as well. But those are competitive numbers.
For sure.
Let's not, you know, those are not small numbers.
So we'll see what the exact figures are, but that's not bad.
Yeah.
I would be happy with those figures personally.
But I've been thinking about this so long. So because I saw the truck, about 2 weeks ago, right? So I've had 2 weeks to kind of stew over this and really think about it. And I was thinking about it almost every day. When they showed it, when the sheet came off of it, right? And we saw the truck, it's rolling on 20s. It's basically rolling on the same wheel and tire package that the heavy-duty Rebel truck
is 20-inch wheel and about a 34-inch tire.
Exactly. So the look of it when it first appeared, and it does have the Power Wagon name badge basically on the bedside.
Yep.
When it appeared, it looked like a heavy-duty Rebel to me. You know what I'm saying?
I get that.
Like, that's... And they also, as you just heard from Doug... They removed the winch, because the way that the diesel and the intercoolers and all everything they have in the front of this truck, you'll see the front of this truck in a second here if you're watching this as well, that's my problem with it. It seemed like they added a locker, front locker, and a disconnectable anti sway bar in the front to a heavy duty Rebel.
I'm okay with that. You don't need a winch if you never get stuck, right? Granted, winches are very useful in a lot of situations, so that's not strictly true.
Sure.
And I'm sure you'll be able to turn to the aftermarket, get something like what we did with Trailhound. Our truck didn't have a winch originally.
No.
But that Cummins, we added an AEV front bumper, rear bumper. We did BDS suspension. We did all kinds of stuff on that truck to kit it out for our needs.
And it worked really well.
And that included a big 16,000-pound winch.
Yes.
So I love this truck because I think this would make the perfect basis for a similar thing. If you imagine doing a Prospector build out on one of these, you would build yourself an impressive truck.
And I think that's the point Doug was trying to make.
Yeah.
You know, when you just heard this, is that when he talked about this truck being developed, this is not like they went out and like plucked a front axle off the shelf somewhere at the warehouse. They actually tested all of this together. Mm-hmm. So the axle strength, the suspension, the front locking differential, because that Cummins is throwing a lot of power, a lot of torque at
this.
And
1,075 pound feet of torque, 430 horsepower.
So if your front differential explodes, that's not the right. That's not the right thing to do.
And they were talking about big 38mm axle shafts.
Yeah.
So this truck is beefed up to be able to handle the combination of the kind of loads that you end up with when you have lockers and the amount of torque that this powertrain puts out. But this combination of the new ZF 8-speed, the updated Cummins, front and rear locker, and disconnecting sway bar, that's all integrated from the factory, so it works as well as it can because it's not developed in the aftermarket. It's developed by Ram themselves. It's probably going to be a pretty good combo. This makes this basically the most capable off-road HD truck that you can go out and buy?
I would challenge your statement.
Really?
Okay. Well, okay. So let's think about this. Let's talk about price, and then let's move on. So now for the diesel Power Wagon, because we have precedent for this, right? They have the regular Power Wagon, so we know how much that costs. Yeah. We have the
Diesel Rebel
Heavy Duty and the Gasoline Rebel Heavy Duty.
Yeah.
So we have all those prices. So you can compare. The Diesel Power Wagon, they listed it including destination charge. So this is it. $88,470.
Which is a lot.
Which is approaching $90,000.
Because the base Power Wagon Cummins is still cloth bench seat up front, right? It's not a super spec'd out truck in its entry level form.
Well, they didn't talk about, you know how there is the Tradesman with the Power Wagon package with the Hemi?
I believe I saw in the press release, though.
That's the case.
Yeah, cloth seat.
Okay. So that's my issue. I think the price is getting up there, even though, okay, there's a lot of fans of this, right? Like you were saying.
For sure.
You know, people have been thinking about this and wanting a triple-locked, Cummins-powered factory truck, and this is what this is. So I'm wondering, though, I'm afraid. I'm afraid that this price is really high when you consider where the competition is.
Well, yeah. If affordability is anywhere in your top five priorities, this is not going to be the truck. Nor is its competition, even though some of its competition is substantially less expensive. But we'll talk about that.
Sure.
So almost 90 grand for this truck starting. 88,500,
basically.
Yeah, that is a lot. I look forward to 10, 15 years from now.
when you could go out and pick one up?
When it's a few bucks less.
Uh-huh.
But it is interesting when you compare this to a Ford F-250 XLT Tremor. With a high output power stroke, which I will give you, has more power and more torque. You can get into a truck like that for 76,470, so 12 grand less.
Mm-hmm.
But it also doesn't have the front locker and it doesn't have the disconnecting front sway bar,
true,
which makes a big difference. So you're paying a lot extra for that, but those are two features that the Tremor doesn't have. And the front locker alone, that makes a big difference. I don't know if it's worth $12,000 to 99% of people.
Yeah, that's where I am. That's where I am, because if you are buying a heavy-duty F-250 Tremor diesel, you are already getting a lot of capability. So you get slightly higher truck, right, with pretty beefy tires on that Tremor, right? So you're getting all that. Of course, the winch is a dealer installed thing for the Tremor diesel. So, and that's really expensive. I think that's like $4,000 or more to get a winch on a Tremor.
Mm-hmm.
But you can still go out to the dealership and do it. The diesel Power Wagon doesn't have a factory provision for that. You could do it aftermarket, like you said, on the Ram. But $12,000 difference for a base Super Duty Tremor diesel versus this diesel Power Wagon, that's a humongous difference. The GM is closer.
Yeah, the GM ZR2.
The ZR2 Heavy Duty. I'm not talking about the Bison, right? The Bison is a little bit more trimmed out, a little bit more fancy. The heavy-duty diesel Duramax ZR2 Chevy is $85,985, which is almost $86,000. Now, that's a lot closer.
So the Power Wagon is very competitive against the ZR2.
Yeah.
I would even say with some of the extra features
Because the ZR2 doesn't have a front locker.
Yeah, so I would give it to the Power Wagon that it's better value to me than the ZR2. Certainly, that XLT Tremor for 76, you can make a bit of a value argument there. But at the same time, I think it's hard to make a value argument for any of these trucks because they're all pretty pricey. And I'm not sure that the majority of people need all this extra capability. I think this extra capability and these features are for people that want them. This Power Wagon diesel could be the basis for an unbelievably apex off-road truck that can still do a lot of work. Again, if you were to build off of this Power Wagon to make a prospect or put it on 40s, give it the big steel bumpers and everything, you would have an unreal truck, a super cool truck. I almost think about this in like muscle car versus supercar terms, right? There's muscle cars you can get for less than 100 grand that go almost 200 miles per hour or even over. Mm-hmm. Or you could get a hypercar for several million dollars that goes 300. Does that difference actually matter for, for, you know, several hundred thousand dollars price difference? Probably not, but people still do it because those are those apex vehicles, and if you got the money, then more power to you. And I kind of think of this truck in the same way. I don't think anyone that's shopping around for a Cummins Power Wagon is doing it because it's the best value. I think they're doing it because it's kind of the peak off-road HD.
I gotcha. I see where you're coming from because, well, so I agree and disagree. So I agree in the way that if you went out to any Ford dealer right now, you probably would not see the $76,000 Tremor anyways.
No.
Because all of them are either Lariats or they're even fancier maybe. Like my friend Jeremiah in Florida, he just purchased a Super Duty Tremor.
Yeah.
I think he paid, or the sticker price was like $105,000 on his Tremor because he got a King Ranch. He's got all the options. He's got a front. He got a winch, you know, dealership installed winch. I mean, it's really hard to find those kind of like those more affordable, if that's even the term, for this $76,000. So in that respect, a lot of people who are buying these trucks are actually optioning them up, right?
Yeah.
So and they're actually, you know, the people who are buying the ZR2 heavy duty are probably buying the Bison, or they're buying the GMC, which is even more expensive, right? The Sierra.
Yeah, so most of the Tremors, to your point, that you'll probably see on dealer lots will be more similarly priced to these diesel Power Wagons than that much cheaper, even though it is possible for you to go on in the configurator, spec that truck, and special order it for yourself for a lot less money. But yeah, ultimately, all of the trucks that we're talking about on these lists, you can't make a practicality or value argument for any of them, for the TRX, for this diesel Power Wagon, for a $76,000 XLT F-250, right? They're all pretty insane.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the point.
Yeah. And I just hoped, I guess my when I was dreaming about the diesel Power Wagon, I was envisioning something like on 35s, something that looks different, something that is a little bit more special and unique. And I saw a heavy-duty Rebel with a front locker and a disconnectable anti-sway bar. So I think it's just my dream versus where the reality came in was not quite there.
Which I can understand. Yeah, and it's a little, I don't want to say bland, but it doesn't look different enough in factory form. But what I see here with this diesel Power Wagon is blank canvas.
Ah, okay. So let us know what you think. So do you see a blank canvas where you could add some AV bumpers to
Boom,
it?
Boom, prospect.
Or are you a little disappointed?
Not sponsored by AEV or anyone else.
No, we're not sponsored by Ram or Ford or Chevy.
No, but it would be cool to see this diesel Power Wagon on 40s.
Yeah.
So,
because we just, you and I appreciate AV parts. I mean, that's kind of what
it's we've used them before. Yeah. Sure. So, 40s on a diesel Power Wagon. We just got to have a conversation with Roman. We got to get aligned so that we can
Need to sell a few things and probably pick one up.
Sell the ranch.
Yeah. No, we don't have to do that. Yeah. We have a couple of trucks we could probably turn in.
Yeah, maybe we can make it happen. That'd be cool. I kind of doubt it.
All right. Well, let us know what you think in the comments below, and we'll see you next week. Appreciate it.